Grab your umbrellas as you head into the long holiday weekend. We'll talk about your plans. A New Jersey assemblywoman finally tells the truth about her FU ice bill. The assembly speaker can't seem to spend your money fast enough. Missing Congressman Tom Kaine Jr. speaks, but really says nothing. Plus, what was the first car you ever owned? And we'll try to settle the debate this morning of what does and does not go on a burger. This is the New Jersey 101.5 Morning Show for Friday, May 22nd. I'm Eric Scott. Bill is in London with family. He will be back next Wednesday. Jen Ursillo has your news updates. Bob Williams and Jill Myra with traffic every 15 minutes. Board up Kathy, producer Thomas behind the scenes. Chief Meteorologist Dan Zero is here. And Dan, so is the holiday weekend.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I posted my morning video this morning,
mm-hmm.
and I parroted what you said, that the weekend will not be a total washout. And people are like, it's rain Friday and Saturday and into Sunday. That's a washout.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But you know what? I like to try to look at the bright spots, right? So let's talk about when you might actually have some time to get outside and not get poured on, right? And today is one of those times. We've got showers in South Jersey right now, but I think today is going to be mainly dry. Parts of New Jersey will stay completely dry during the day today. Northern half of the state, north of 195, I think you stay rain-free during the daytime hours today. So that's a plus. You know, temperatures in the 60s this afternoon, that's not bad. It's a little bit below normal for this time of year. It's going to be cloudy today, but you know, in the grand scheme of things, it could be a lot worse. All right, tomorrow's going to be rainy. Tomorrow, there's little hope of salvaging. And even Sunday morning, it's still going to be very wet. But then we trend a little drier into Sunday afternoon. I've been able to warm up the forecast for Sunday a little bit. And then Memorial Day Monday is kind of like today, where there's going to be some hit or miss showers around, but also pockets of dry weather. And 65 to 70 degrees, again, not terrible. Yeah. Monday's the day when we're going to have, you know, parades and flag-raising ceremonies for Memorial Day, the whole reason for this weekend, by the way. So if there was going to be a day where we actually catch some decent weather, I'm glad it's that.
Right.
So, you know, the deeper into the weekend we go, the better the improvements will be. The brighter the sky, the warmer the weather. That's basically the bottom line here.
Yeah, I mean, I think folks are trying to make the best of it, right? And as we talked a little bit yesterday, if you are picking this week to go down the shore, this upcoming week down the shore, you're going to check in on Sunday.
Yep.
And then you're going to have that week to the following Sunday, and that's actually not going to be bad.
Well, Sunday's going to stink. Yeah. You know, most of the day it's going to rain, at least through the morning, and then the afternoon's going to be iffy. And then Monday gets better, and then Tuesday's still a bit cloudy, but you're in the 70s, and then Wednesday the sun comes out, you're in the 80s. And then later in the week, I mean, it looks dry. Temperatures might be a little iffy depending on wind direction and cloud cover. But, you know, once we get past this weekend, I don't know when our next widespread rain chance is going to be. Like, it's amazing that, you know, this is like our first big rainstorm we've had in months.
Yeah.
And the only one in the future. And it is Memorial Day
and
weekend.
It is smack
dab. It is the holiday weekend, the only soaker that's in sight here.
Well, I mean, I told you, we're going to hunker down tomorrow, and I'm going to cook all day. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that. We're treating it like a winter storm.
There you go.
You know, I mean, we're basically going to be inside all day, you know, in between rubbing the dogs down after being outside in the storm.
Yep.
But, I mean, it is what it is at this point, right? I mean, that's about the most Jersey phrase you can get.
Yeah. One more important note, too. Starting today, there's a high risk of rip currents and rough surf. Not that this is beach weather anyway.
Right.
But the ocean is going to be increasingly angry through tomorrow. Onshore breeze, you know, big waves. It's going to be windy. So not that anyone's probably going in the ocean. It's still pretty chilly, too. But that's going to be pretty rough as well. Again, not something we'd like to see heading into the Memorial Day weekend. But luckily, the weather's not going to be all that conducive to beach weather. But, you know, two alarm bells we have to ring here. Not only the rain, but also the rough surf heading into the weekend, too.
All right, a good note. All right, Chief Meteorologist Dan Zero, he's going to keep you updated throughout the morning. All right, couple things that we got coming up this hour. I was scrolling through Facebook last night and came across a video that was posted by Assembly Speaker Craig Coughlin, and he was asked about the increase in revenue, right? We told you earlier this week that the projections were that the state was going to bring in more money than anticipated. Well, rather than save it for a rainy day, rather than pay down debt, he cannot help himself but talk about the way that they are going to spend it. And here's the reason that you are looking at massive structural budget deficits, highest in the nation property taxes, an affordability crisis. And I'm going to let you hear Coughlin's own words after we get an update of weather and traffic and see if you don't just shake your head the way I did when I listened to this. So hang with me. I'll play that. And then a really scary memory came up on Facebook, and I had completely blanked it out. But now I'm having flashbacks. I'll tell you about that as well. We'll get an update of traffic and weather in 3 minutes. It's 6:15 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Open phones, real opinions. This is New Jersey's Conversation. Call 800-283-1015 or connect with us on the New Jersey 101.5 app.
Well, you know, it is 6:22 now on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill is away seeing family in London. He'll be back next Wednesday. We are off on Monday for the long holiday weekend, so you got me back on Tuesday. And then regular schedule on Wednesday. As I've talked with you over the years about the reason that we are in an affordability crisis and that we have the highest taxes in the nation. And, you know, New Jersey, this is the thing I've often used to illustrate. We have among the highest median incomes in the nation, but the least amount of disposable income. That means the majority of the dollars that come into our bank accounts go out immediately to pay our bills. That is a concept, by the way, that state government, under control of the Democratic legislature for more than 20 years, just can't seem to grasp that you shouldn't spend more than you bring in. And once again, there will be deficit spending in Governor Mikey Sherrill's budget, even more so if Democrats wind up spending more than what the governor had proposed. Then you had the revenue outlook that was released earlier this week from the Treasury Department, and it was confirmed by the nonpartisan Office of Legislative Services that they're bringing in more than they had anticipated. So what does that mean? Does that mean a smaller deficit? Does that mean paying down some of the debt? Does that mean giving money back to offset property taxes? What does that mean? It certainly does not mean saving it. And here's the primary difference between Democratic leadership and what minority of Republicans we have in the legislature. Republicans are still talking about cutting the budget. Democrats are like, ooh, we have more money to spend? Awesome. How are we going to do it? And Assembly Speaker Craig Coughlin, been Speaker for, what, about a decade now? Aside from just being a vile human being, is among the leaders that cannot wait to spend every dollar that he picks out of your pocket. And what we're talking about here is not affordability. So there was a video that was posted on Coughlin's Facebook page this week. And, you know, it's done with Coughlin, you know, looking very businesslike, getting into the back of his taxpayer-paid black SUV. By the way, would you know Craig Coughlin if you bumped into him on the street? Would you know who he is? Exactly. Why are we paying to have him driven around and 24/7 state police protection? If somebody was really going to go after the head of government in New Jersey, do you think they'd pick Coughlin? Do you think they'd pick Senate President Nick Scutari? These are, in the era of Democrats shouting no kings, these are your kings. Craig Coughlin and Nick Scutari, they are your kings. And so he's getting into the back of his taxpayer-funded, basically, limousine, driven by a state trooper. And this is what he had to say about the revenue projection showing a quote-unquote windfall. Now, some of it's a little hard to hear because clearly they didn't have a pro video guy doing this. It was designed and staged to look like it was on the fly, like he was rushing off to do the people's business. Here, listen.
Well, the new revenue numbers are very, very encouraging. And I think what it does is it speaks to the financial stewardship we've been experiencing over these last several years. You know, we're investing in things that make New Jersey grow and prosper. Yeah. I think that's what we're seeing here when we get this really positive news. Exceeding what was expected is always a positive thing. It's like a little bonus. And so now we have to continue to do the same thing that we have done before, wisely make sure that we're spending money in a way that benefits the people of New Jersey, continues to let there be growth and progress, and make sure that we continue to meet the challenges of making New Jersey more affordable.
Yeah, because that's his goal. He wants to make New Jersey more affordable, and he wants you to be able to grow and prosper. Are you feeling prosperous after a decade of Craig Coughlin's leadership in the Assembly? And why is the Assembly important? Every revenue-related bill has to originate by law in the State Assembly. So he is the chief steward of your tax dollars. Because without his leadership, and I'm using air quotes here again, without his leadership, none of those bills become reality. And the disconnect with the average New Jerseyan, the people that are being squeezed, your family, my family, all of our families that are being squeezed, is him looking at that, and you can almost see the dollar signs in his eyes. We have more money. How are we going to spend it? Not how are we going to pay down debt, not how are we going to make New Jersey more affordable. How do we spend it? You know, he's like a five-year-old who finds a $10 bill on the sidewalk. He's not putting it in his pocket and putting it in the bank account. He's running into the store and spending it. And that's your Democratic leadership in the Assembly and in the Senate. And the fact that they posted that video and were proud of it shows that disconnect. Wow. It is 6:27 now on New Jersey 101.5. Funeral services are going to be held today for that teen killed in Brick riding his bike to school. Jen has that as part of her news, weather, and traffic update in 3 minutes. And then the memory that brought flashbacks on Facebook for me, that's coming up on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. It is 6:38 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back next Wednesday. I think everybody's just kind of in a silly mood today. The weather is what it is, right? I mean, it's going to be what it is. And I'm treating this like it's a winter storm. I am going to be up early tomorrow morning. I am going to cook all day. I bought a case of wine yesterday.
Yeah, let's go. You know what? We're Jersey strong. We don't care. We open up the garage door, stick everything inside there. You know, if you were planning anything outdoor, who cares? Bring it in.
Well, you know, it is. We didn't have any plans for this weekend. I mean, I always hope that, you know, we're going to come over and play, cornhole or something like that, or sit at the
spontaneous
bar.
Things happen better.
Right. I mean, it always does. That's usually our memorial plans. But at this point, I'm cooking. I'm cooking all weekend.
You are cooking, and you are cooking, like you said, like it is a winter, autumnal vibe. Are you making like a stew or soup or what are you?
So I'm going to start tomorrow morning with my French onion soup.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm going to make a vat of it because it freezes well.
I listened to you when I was leaving yesterday. You were still talking about the recipe for that French onion soup.
Mm-hmm.
Dying, I
it's
thought.
So good.
It sounds amazing.
When I did soup, what did we do? Soup Monday, Soup Friday?
Yeah,
Soup Monday. Did I do French onion? I don't think I did. Did I? Nobody requested
totally
it.
You totally did. You definitely did it. Maybe it wasn't along the soup featured era, but you did soup for us, French onion soup for us.
Oh, I did do it. Okay. Yeah, I remember putting it in the broiler.
Pieces of bread.
Yep. I remember putting it in the broiler. Yeah, so I'll do that. I have an I-round roast beef that I'm going to do in a Dutch oven. Sandra is going to make her mom's mushroom gravy. I'll do mashed cauliflower to go with that. Then I have a big bone-in turkey breast that I will roast.
So this is cozy food.
Yeah, it's cozy food. And it's the food that, you know, I will all slice up and put bento boxes together for Alex so he can have meals for a couple of weeks. So that will be the weekend. And maybe Monday, if Monday is decent, I'll put a rack of ribs on the grill or something like that.
You know what the nice thing is about a long weekend is you could do long cooking.
Right.
That's the beauty of it.
Yep.
You know, it's stuff that takes hours and that you, like your soup.
Yeah. Yeah, that will that'll go all day long. It'll be it'll be great. And then I will. This is why I need a meat slicer, because I'm going to have the roast beef and I'm going to have the turkey. I still haven't bought a meat slicer, and I don't know if you remember when I was filling in for Bill last year.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about my mom's baked bean pot. Remember, I was searching for one.
Absolutely, yes.
Right. So one of our loyal listeners came to the appearance that I was doing at Ristorante Luca when I was behind the bar.
Mm-hmm.
They found one at a garage sale, and they bought it for me, and they gave it to me.
I love it. And so, at a garage sale. You know it's not just Amazon remake.
It is well-seasoned. It's just like my mom's bean pot. So I got all the stuff to be able to do my mom's baked beans this weekend. I forgot that I had that. So I'm going to use that pot to make my mom's baked beans.
And how long does it take to caramelize an onion? Because every time you said caramelized...
Every time you think you're there, do it longer.
See?
I will probably do two full bags of onions. So it will take 35 to 40 minutes to caramelize
those.
That's
the beauty of a long weekend like this, when we don't have to be out going anywhere or doing yard work. I'm happy about this.
I've started to warm to the idea. You know, I like it. So if there's any leftovers, maybe I'll bring it in on Tuesday. But I'm gonna guess by the time Alex comes grazing, I doubt very much that there will be anything that will be left.
You know, that's another bonus of the weather being like it will. You know, when people bring leftovers from a picnic, you don't want to touch that stuff because a fly might have gotten into the house. Even if you have the food in the house, there's always that random fly that could have. But you know, good cozy food.
Right, that lasts.
Stay preserved.
Absolutely, absolutely. It is 6:42 now on New Jersey 101.5. All right, so here was the post on my Facebook memories that kind of gave me flashbacks, and I'll preface it by asking this question: have you ever been in a car accident, and how bad was it, and what happened? Have you ever been in a car accident? It was 12 years ago today that I was in a really severe car accident and was hospitalized for 3 or 4 days. And back in the day, they used to actually do a New Jersey Legislative Correspondence Club show. And Chris Christie was there. He was one of the keynote speakers. He was governor at the time. And I was on my way to the Correspondence Club show when I was in an accident, and it was on 95, not far from my home, and it was kind of around a curve, and something happened and all of the traffic stopped dead, but it was a blind curve and nobody could see that the traffic was stopped ahead of them. And it was rush hour, so everything was packed. The traffic was heavy. So as I came around, I had to slam on my brakes. There was no place to go. I was in the far right lane, and there was nowhere to go. And there was a box truck that was stopped in front of me. I couldn't go off onto the shoulder because there was traffic there. There was traffic to my left. There was nothing I could do. So I slammed on the brakes, and I hit the back of the box truck, and it destroyed my car. And I lost consciousness in the crash. And here is what I wrote on Facebook 12 years ago from the hospital bed. Safety technology is amazing. A few years ago, I would be dead today. Yesterday, after being in a serious car accident, I awoke with smoke filling the cabin of my car. A good Samaritan helped me understand I was not on fire. It was the smoke from the airbags. When I looked around my car, no fewer than 6 airbags surrounded me from head to ankle. My vehicle is destroyed, but the airbags and seatbelt are the reason I'm alive. Now, I had some pretty serious injuries. As I said, I was in the hospital for a couple of days. But it was when I woke up, it did look like smoke in the cabin. And this good Samaritan had gotten out, and he's coming over, and he's tapping on the window. And the first thing that I said was, am I on fire? Am I on fire? I thought there was fire. But guess when the airbags go off, it released like this fine powdery dust in the air. So there was no fire, but I didn't know that. And the other funny thing about that story is at the time we used to do traffic alerts as text messages on your phone. So they found my phone in the back seat of the car and they handed it to me as I was being loaded into an ambulance. and the text goes off, and I look at my phone, and Dan Alexander, who in our newsroom, who was doing the text at that time, had just sent out a text message about the accident. And I'm like, hey, that's me. I'm a text message. And thank goodness I was okay. But have you ever been in an accident, and how bad was it, and what happened? 1-800-283-101.5. I'd love to hear your story, and I'll tell you a little bit more about the craziness at the hospital when I got there after we get an update of weather and traffic. It is 6:45 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Spring in New Jersey means real conversations with real New Jerseyans. We're New Jersey 101.5.
6:52 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. I was remembering, it was 12 years ago, that I was in a pretty severe car accident. Had I not had my seatbelt on and a bunch of airbags, probably be dead. There's a couple of funny things happened in the hospital because I was hospitalized for about 4 days. You ever been in a car accident, and what happened? How bad was it? Tony and Brick, thanks for hanging through the break. So you were in 3 accidents in 4 years. Is that right, Tony?
Yes, sir. I was rear-ended 3 times, twice at red lights, and the last one was on Route 1 at Edison, stopped in traffic. But you have to let me finish the last part of the story. I'll try to do it quickly.
Okay.
The last one, he must have hit me at 50, 60 miles an hour.
Wow.
He hit me so hard, he drove my back bumper almost to my back window.
Holy cow.
The front half of my car, the whole right side was smashed in because he smashed me into the car in front of me. And I probably went 160 yards and hit 4 more cars. Every airbag went off. There was smoke, like you said, in the car. I don't remember much. Now, here I am, 6'4", about 270 at that time.
Yeah.
In a Nissan Sentra.
Oh.
I don't know how they got me out of the car because I was kind of dazed. I knew my lip was split. I was bleeding. But they got me out. I ended up between the 3 accidents with 2 neck surgeries, a back surgery, and I needed 1 more of each. That last one, I had 4 herniated discs in the lower back, 2 completely collapsed. Now, I won't take pain pills, and my doctor and my attorney are looking at me like, how are you even walking? But I said, that's the summer's me. But here's the best part. I get a subpoena from Edison about the accident. I call my attorney, says, well, if it's a subpoena, you got to go to court. I go to court. I said to they called me into the assistant prosecutor. It's a lady. I said, ma'am, what am I doing here? She said, well, in case he pleads not guilty, we need you as a witness. I said, not guilty. You got the police report. He caused like an 8 or 9 car accident and all this. I said, so what's, and I used some explicits because I knew what was going to go on.
Yeah.
And I said, so what's going to happen? She says, well, right now he's got 2 points and a fine. We're going to offer him no points and a bigger fine to plead guilty. And I looked at her, used some bad words, which I never do. I said, I know exactly what you're doing. You're going to rewrite it on a township or number so you guys can keep all the money. Now, he's got no points. You guys got made money. And I'm going to spend the next 7 years looking at doctors. And you want me to be happy? In all 3 accidents, not one person got a point on their license.
That's crazy, Tony. It is a broken system. I hope you're feeling better now. You got an accident story? You ever been in an accident? I was in an accident 12 years ago. If I hadn't had airbags and a seatbelt, I'd be dead. And wait till you hear what happened when I was in the hospital. I'll tell you that after we get an update of news, weather, and traffic with Jen coming up at the top of the hour. If the Iran war doesn't end soon, you're really going to feel it at the grocery store. Jen will have those details in 4 minutes.
Yo, what's up, New Jersey?
Looking for something that's so Jersey? Tune in to Jersey Thing with Eric Scott. Weeknights at 6 on New Jersey 101.5. Presented by RWJ Barnabas Health and supported by Parks Casino and Earth Treasures Jewelers. Eric has fun diving into what makes Jersey tick. From the lighthearted quirks we love to the important issues that matter most. Join the conversation at 6 p.m. and watch anytime on YouTube. Jersey Thing with Eric Scott on New Jersey 101.5. Because nobody does Jersey like Jersey.
Parks Casino, New Jersey. Chime time is 7:09 on a Friday morning heading into a long holiday weekend. How you doing, everybody? I'm Eric Scott. Bill is in London with his family taking some well-earned time off. He'll be back next Wednesday. Talking about car accidents, it was 12 years ago that I had a pretty severe car accident. If it hadn't been for multiple airbags and my seatbelt, I'd probably be dead. Have you ever had a car accident and what happened? Have you ever been in one of those chain reaction crashes? We talked to a caller, Tony, just before the news, talking about he was in three rear-end accidents in 4 years, including one that triggered a chain reaction crash, multiple surgeries. Seems to be doing okay now. B-Man writes on the app chat, my good friend and I were in an accident in Magnolia at White Horse Pike and Evesham Avenue coming back from a medical call. It was an ambulance crash. And, I mean, that nothing is scarier than that. But I'd love to hear your accident stories. It is dangerous driving. And it's also one of the reasons why, you know, Bill and I often talk about the need to teach kids how to drive in real world situations, in bad weather, in rain, in snow, in ice, in traffic. You know, when you got everybody racing up the New Jersey Turnpike. So anyway, to follow up on this story, I go to the hospital. Now, keep in mind that I lost consciousness in this accident, and I really couldn't remember a lot of what happened immediately because of the trauma. And this was on a Friday. So now it is Friday night into the weekend at the hospital. And so whoever was on call. And so they did a whole battery of tests. Nothing was broken, although I did have some internal injuries because of the seatbelt. But their main concern was, why did you lose consciousness? So all kinds of tests. And with all due respect to the medical staff, and I'm not going to say what hospital this was, but with all due respect to the medical staff, the cardiologist that was on duty at that point looked like he was about 12. So he had settled on this idea that I may have had some rare cardiac condition / disease, and that was the reason why I had lost consciousness. Now, they assumed that I had lost consciousness prior to the accident, not as a result of the accident. And I didn't realize there was a disconnect in that information until later. So I'm going through the entire weekend, and this kid, this doctor, is obsessed with the idea that I have this incredibly rare disease. And he said, but the good news is we can test you for it. I'm like, all right, well, what's the test? So the test is they inject some drug or chemical into my body. And if I have it, it triggers cardiac arrest. But don't worry, we'll restart your heart. And I was like, well, hold on a second here. Let's not do that, okay? He's like, well, if you don't have this test, you're going to have to surrender your driver's license because you will be considered a risk for cardiac failure on the road. And I'm like, isn't everybody at risk of cardiac failure on the road? I mean, you could have a heart attack at any time. So this is all going on Saturday and Sunday, and I'm losing my mind. And Sandra, God love her, is the only one who's kind of calm through this whole thing. Now we get to Monday. And my regular cardiologist, who I have been seeing for over a decade, comes on duty. And he comes walking in the door, and he was like, hey, what happened to you? And I told him the story, and he looks at the chart, and I said, they tell me that I have this scary disease, and they're going to take my driver's license. And he looks at me, and he goes, you don't have that. And he goes, first of all, it typically hits Asian men, and unless I'm looking wrong, I don't think you're an Asian man. And I am not of Asian descent. And he's like, yeah, you're going home. But they were in the process. And I think he had a rather terse conversation with the young cardiologist that was on duty. But it was, can you imagine a test that they give you? The positive test is cardiac arrest. What? Are you kidding me? Have you ever been in an accident? 1-800-283-1015. That was only one of two accidents that I have ever been in. Neither one of them were my fault. When I was young, I was a teen driver. I was sitting at an intersection, stopped, waiting to make a left-hand turn, and a guy came speeding through the intersection in the other direction and hit me head-on. And it was another incident where, you know, I thank goodness for a seatbelt. Oh, and I'll tell you the other thing, thank goodness for. This was a Cadillac ATS that I was driving 12 years ago in this accident. They actually had an airbag that came out to protect your knees. And the one doctor said, you know, it's a good thing that you had that, because even though the other airbags would have prevented head injuries and things like that, because of the way your car was crumpled, you probably would have broken both of your legs and shattered your knees. And that's why they started putting some of these airbags in. Crazy, right? Couple of app chats I want to share with you. And then if you've been in an accident, 1-800-283-101.5, tell me your story. We'll get an update of weather and traffic in 3 minutes. It's 7:15 now on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Fun, laughs, great conversation, and guests you want to hear from. It's 100% Trev. Weeknights on New Jersey 101.5.
7:22 it is now on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Ever been in a car accident, and what happened to you? It was 12 years ago that I was in a really bad accident on Route 95 in the hospital for almost 4 days. Fortunately, no long-term ramifications, but I mean, it was terrifying. It was really terrifying. I lost consciousness in the accident when I woke up. The cabin of the car was filled with smoke, or so I thought, and I asked the Good Samaritan who came to help me, am I on fire? Am I on fire? And it was the dust from the airbag that went off. Bob in Beechwood, you're on New Jersey 101.5. You were in an accident on the parkway, Bob. What happened?
I was on the parkway, and there was an accident way up, about a mile up, so traffic was stopped. So I stopped, and then I looked in my mirror, and I said, oh, no. And I saw this car just flying. I said, oh, she's going to hit me. And I braced myself. She hit me so hard. She bent the frame of my truck and bent my bed up, which drove me into a truck in front of me, which drove him into a car in front of him. And then, to top it all off, another woman hit her.
Wow. So
that one airbag went off on my truck.
Were you okay? Were you hurt?
No, I was okay. I fractured something in my elbow.
Yeah.
That they really can't do nothing for. With therapy.
Was anybody else hurt? I mean, there were multiple cars involved in this.
No, everybody. We all got there. We're all looking at each other like, what happened?
Huh.
And if I wasn't in my pickup truck, I probably would have really had problems.
Yeah, you're right. But yeah, that because you were in a bigger vehicle, Bob, that probably is what saved you from severe injury or worse.
Yeah, I had my seatbelt. I always wear my seatbelt.
Yep.
You know,
well,
but that pinned me to the seat.
Oh, well, thank goodness that you're okay. That's scary. I've never been in a rear-end accident where I've been hit from behind. But I have this image in my head that you can kind of see it coming in your rearview mirror, and there's nothing you can do about it. Because I've had that before where I've been stopped at an intersection or stopped on the highway, and you see the car coming. And you're like, please slow down, please slow down, please slow down. And fortunately, in my case, they always have. But I've seen others where, you know, whether they're on the phone, whether they're checking text messages or, you know, eating a ham sandwich, man, you take your eyes off the road for a second and, you know, disaster can happen. I mean, I understand why they crack down on the distracted driving, because it's you think about it sometimes, and some of the technology they have in new vehicles is really interesting. So my car will yell at me if it thinks I'm getting too close based on the speed I'm going, you know, the car in front of me. And it also has that lane keeping thing, which I hate. Because I don't know, maybe it thinks I'm either too far over to the right or too far over to the left, and then the car will kind of jerk itself back into what it thinks is the center of the lane. I find that incredibly annoying. and jarring. And then, you know, occasionally, you know, I have the lights and the sirens will go off if somebody stops real fast in front of me. And in some cases, the car will actually take over the braking and like a collision avoidance system. That's triggered a couple of times. And I'm thankful for it, I think. But it's really disconcerting when the car all of a sudden takes control of driving itself. You know, it's not a driverless car, but some of these safety features are startling and jarring at times. You ever been in an accident, and what happened? 1-800-283-101.5 is our telephone number. And when we come back from an update of news, weather, and traffic, you know, they got me thinking about first cars. And the very first car that I ever had was a 1970 Cadillac sedan DeVille. Now, my dad bought this car for me in 1985, and this was a tank. It was a tank. It had the 472 V8 in it, but it got about 8 miles to the gallon, and it weighed about 4 tons. And it was not in great shape. You know, it was 15 years old when my dad got me for it. It was sitting in some guy's yard. It was starting to rust out, and I don't even think the heat worked in it or anything. But the point was, he got it because it was a tank. He's like, if anything hits you or you hit anything, this car is going to protect you. And that's kind of like the caller who was in his big pickup truck in that rear-end accident. It was the fact that he was in a big, heavy vehicle that saved him. But what was your first car? Did you have a big car like that? I mean, was it a beater? Was it a junker? I mean, look at what some of these kids are driving around now. They're driving around Mercedes and BMWs and Audis and stuff like that. How does that happen? It is 728 here on New Jersey 101.5. A new option to get down the shore this summer. Jen's got the details in 2 minutes. 738 it is on New Jersey 101.5, Friday morning in the Great Garden State. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back next Wednesday, and that's when I'll be back on Jersey Thing. If you haven't seen it yet or heard it yet, check it out on YouTube or from 6 to 7 p.m. weeknights here on New Jersey 101.5. Just before the break, we were talking about, do you remember what your first car was? Because we were talking about car accidents. And my dad's theory was, if he got me this big tank, I would be safe as I first started to drive. So his idea, this was in 1985, he bought me this old junky 1970 Cadillac sedan DeVille. It was baby blank brown. It did have the 472 V8 in it, and it got about 8 miles to the gallon, literally 8 miles to the gallon. Now, gas was only a dollar a gallon back then, but I mean, and his theory was, if I hit something or somebody hit me, I'd be safe because this was like driving a tank. This was gigantic. Jill, do you remember what your first car was?
I also had a tank. It was a Smurf Blue. In fact, we called it the Smurf Mobile because it was an AMC Matador. Another tank, Smurf Blue with a white vinyl top.
Oh, so boy. You
know how Smurfs had the white hats?
Yeah.
And Eric, I could hit anything, concrete, nothing would damage this car. And it had the interior seats were Smurf Blue. Remember the, that's called it, what's a couch seat called? Like it wasn't
a bucket. Bench seat?
You had the bench seat? Bench seat.
Yes.
So we could fit like the entire cheerleading squad.
Oh, absolutely.
From Notre Dame High School.
In this Cadillac, I could get 15 people in there.
Right.
Comfortably.
My roommate in college had that massive Cadillac too, handed down from the parents, and it looked like Mount Airy Lodge. The crushed velvet. Did you have the crushed velvet?
No, this
velvet,
had like, this had the pleather in it. And I think it was originally tan, but there were a lot of other colors in it at that point.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, the Smurf Mobile, I've ran that to the ground.
And
you're right. Those tank cars that...
Right? I mean,
kept you safe.
Oh, man. I think about that now and how funny it was when we were riding around in that thing. And the other thing, too, it was the only one in town. So everybody knew
Right.
That, you know, it was, if I was doing something wrong in it, everybody knew exactly whose car it was.
Well, that was the only problem. Yeah, we were marked cars. Right, exactly.
Yeah, it was definitely a marked car.
I mean, you couldn't, Smurf Blue, you could not miss this thing. Because remember, the AMC cars had, like, really bold colors.
Yeah,
right?
My
friend had the Gremlin also. It was a tiny little purple. It looked like a grape.
Yeah, I remember the purple Gremlin. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they looked like grapes. That was crazy. And who did you want to say hello to this morning?
Oh, Valley Spas and Pools. They love us. They're listening right now. Hello to the crew. My son works there and he's out opening pools. They're still, everybody's opening their pools right now and fixing their hot tubs.
Yeah, I don't know that you're going to get a lot of pool weather this
weekend. Yeah, it might not be the pool weather.
But maybe now this time to call and get it ready for the
Valley Spas. Hello. Thanks for listening.
All right, cool. Kathy, what was your first car?
I had a 76 Pontiac Le Mans.
Ooh, and that was big styling.
Too. It was big. You know, I think it was a four-door. I can't remember, but it was big and bench seats. They don't, do any cars have bench seats anymore? I don't think they do.
I can't think of any that I've seen. And then, so I only drove that Cadillac Sedan DeVille for a couple of years, and then the thing just died. The engine just died, and my dad was like, all right, well, we're not fixing it. You're going to get something else. So then I got a 1980 Ford Thunderbird, and that could have been a Smurfmobile as well. It was two-tone blue and gray with a gray leather top on it in the back. Now, the only thing that and it ran great. The only thing I loved about that car, and I had no right driving that car, is it had the 5-liter Windsor V8 in it.
Oh, wow.
So that was the car that I was driving on the 219 Expressway when I got pulled over, and the local cop comes up and he taps on the door and he goes, hey, you know how fast you were going? I'm like, no, I really don't. He goes, I clocked you doing 105. And my reaction was, really? I was so excited. I should not have had that car, but I loved that car. That car was, it was so fun to drive. And it was '80 was the year that they shrunk them down. Cause my brother had a '79 Thunderbird and it still was the big wide body. This was the sleeked down version and it had the headlight covers on it, the automatic headlight covers. So when you turned the headlights on, you had these doors over your headlights that would open up and they looked like eyes and they didn't work well. Okay. So what would happen is you would stop and you would park the car and then slowly but surely they would lose the pressure in the line and the doors would open as the car was parked and it looked like the car was waking up and opening its eyes. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. What was your first car? And, you know, did you buy it or did your dad or mom or your parents buy it for you? My dad helped me buy that Thunderbird. But then the first car that I ever bought fully on my own was a brand new 1989 Mercury Tracer hatchback. So those were what a Dorkosaurus car that was. But it was the only thing that I could afford. Didn't have air conditioning. I mean, it was the stripped down model. So the first three cars I had is I had that 70 DeVille, the 80 Thunderbird, and then the first car that I bought with my own money was that Mercury Tracer hatchback. But it was a cool car. I mean, it was, I was proud of it because it was the first one I bought on my own. Malik in Asbury Park, real quick here, what was your first car? Oh, a Saab. You had a Saab? That's cool.
Yeah. My first car, 900S turbo Saab manuals. It was a stick.
Oh, those are great cars.
Yes, and it drove like a champ. I drove it for maybe 4 years, not one oil change, and it did me perfect driving up and down the parkway every weekend until the transmission seized up and I had to get rid of it.
Yeah, that was the story of my Thunderbird, Malik. I had the engine seized. You're supposed to change the oil? And when the oil gets low, do you put more oil into it? Yeah, I didn't know anything about cars. The engine seized in a snowstorm. It is 7:45 on New Jersey 101.5. What was your first car? Do you remember what it was? We'll take more of your calls after we get an update of weather and traffic in 3 minutes. Good morning.
Get the latest traffic, weather, and local news with New Jersey 101.5, keeping you informed on all things Jersey.
7:53 now on New Jersey 101.5 as we're wrapping up this conversation about what was the first car that you had here in New Jersey. I did not grow up in New Jersey. I grew up in upstate New York, a small farm town outside of Buffalo, and my dad bought out of a guy's front yard in 1985, a 1970 Cadillac sedan DeVille. The V8 got about 8 miles to the gallon. And think about that. Can you imagine what you would be paying right now if your car was getting 8 miles to the gallon? I mean, back then we kind of cared, but I mean, gas was $1.15 a gallon in 1985. And then when I got the Thunderbird in a couple of years later, I got like 15 miles to the gallon. I was like, wow, I'm really saving a lot of money. But it was, and it's on the app chat, some great cars on here. Angry Chef and Barnegat, first car was a 77 Chevy Monza Spider with a 305 V8. Got it for $50 in 1988. June in Telford in PA, a 1977 Firecracker Red AMC Gremlin. It was the Dollar Family Special, handed down from one family to the other. This is an Odin and Alpha. His first car was an 81 Black Monte Carlo. That's a cool car. It is 7:55 now in New Jersey 101.5. All right, coming up next hour, right after traffic and weather at 8:15. We have a longtime prosecutor who is going to join us as a guest to walk us through the legal ramifications of this horrible accident where a kid riding his bike to school in Brick was hit and killed by another teen driver. A lot of you have been asking me questions about what happens to the driver of that car. Keep in mind, he's a juvenile. So we'll have longtime retired prosecutor Derek Haley join us to walk us through the legal ramifications. That's coming up after we get an update of news, weather, and traffic. Jen will have the details of the funeral services, and then more with you on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Get set for an exciting Memorial Weekend on New Jersey 101.5. We're playing Jersey's biggest hits, all alphabetically from A to Z. It's pretty cool jamming the tunes in alphabetical order, and we're excited to have you join us. So sit back, relax, and rock out to the hits, the must-haves, and the killer classics. From ABC by the Jackson 5 to the final Z. We've got your weekend covered. Don't miss out on the ultimate A to Z playlist. Only on New Jersey 101.5. Powered by Parks Casino, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Exit 6A off the New Jersey Turnpike. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Parks Casino, New Jersey chime time. 8:09 Friday morning. I'm Eric Scott. 1-800-283-101.5 is our telephone number. Bill is vacationing with his family in London, spending some time with his daughter and her husband. He'll be back next Wednesday. The wake will be held today for that 15-year-old freshman who was riding his bike to school, killed in that horrific crash in Brick. Prosecutors claiming the teenage driver of a BMW took off instead of calling for help. Now, a lot of you have had questions about that driver, that suspect, and other questions about this case. You're not likely going to get a lot of answers anytime soon. Longtime prosecutor Derek Haley is going to join me right after the traffic and weather update at 8:15 to kind of walk us through the legal process and how this case may be adjudicated. But Linda in Lakewood, you also had a good question, and we'll ask the prosecutor about it, but you wanted to know about the passenger in that BMW.
Yeah, my daughter lives out of state, and I was telling her as best I knew what had gone on, and the first thing out of her mouth was, "What about the plus one?" And I, "What?" And she said, "There was a passenger in the car, and they got out and they looked and saw what had happened, and they both agreed that they would just drive off?
Well,
she was, you know, yeah. Shouldn't there be some penalty for stupidity too?
Linda, that's a really good question. And we'll ask the prosecutor about it. Because if you see that video, the two, presumably the driver and the passenger, get out of the vehicle. They look at the damage and then they leave the scene. I have not heard about charges being filed against that passenger. I don't know if the Good Samaritan law applies to that. I don't know. Linda, thanks for calling New Jersey 101.5. But we will definitely take a look at that and we'll ask Prosecutor Paley about it. But I will tell you, the video doesn't reflect well on the driver or his passenger. And if you haven't seen the video or a photo of the wrecked vehicle, check it out at NJ1015.com, because there's a lot of damage to that vehicle, including a big hole in the windshield. And when I saw that, my first thought, as a former EMT and paramedic who has seen a lot of accident scenes, my first thought was, it looks like the kid that was on the bike got thrown into the windshield and then up over the car. So the claim apparently that these kids have been making is that, well, we thought we hit a pole. And I don't want to be graphic here, but if that kid's face is in your windshield, there's no question about what you hit. And there could be some pretty severe charges involved in this case. But we'll get those questions answered after we get an update of weather and traffic here when Prosecutor Paley joins us coming up here in about 5 minutes. So stick around here on New Jersey 101.5. It's 8:13. Good morning.
Spring days, hot topics. New Jersey's conversation lives here. New Jersey 101.5.
Farrow.
8:20 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. On this Friday morning, funeral services today for Brick Memorial freshman Jackson Muller. He's 15, killed riding his bike to school in a horrific crash. Prosecutors say the teenage driver of the BMW that hit him took off instead of calling for help. Now, Ocean County Prosecutor Bradley Bilheimer said the driver of that sedan, who is also a teenager, now we've heard that he was 17 and a junior, though that has not been confirmed, but that he did not stop or call the police at the time of the crash. He has been held at the Ocean County Jail on multiple charges. Driver's name is not going to be released by the prosecutor's office because he is a juvenile. And a lot of you have had questions about the driver of that BMW, about the passenger in that BMW, and about the process. And as I've cautioned you before on cases that have been similar to this, there isn't a lot that you're going to know because the individual charged is a juvenile. But there are things that have to happen just as a matter of course in the investigation and in the prosecution of this case. Longtime prosecutor, now retired, Dara Paley joins us now on New Jersey 101.5 to kind of walk us through this. And Dara, thanks for taking the time to do that this morning. And let's start with the very basics. You know, as a prosecutor, if you're looking at this case, what are you doing as a prosecutor now to try to determine how to pursue justice?
Well, in this case, what I'd be doing is looking at the car to determine, was this juvenile speeding? To what extent was this juvenile speeding? I'd also probably be looking at information that's contained in the car itself, because it appears to me to be a newer car. Was he possibly texting and driving? Was he using his cell phone in some way? That's the stuff that I would be looking at. But with the charges are as they are right now, leaving the scene of an accident, all that you need is that leaving the scene. Those other steps in the investigation would just potentially add additional charges.
The charges that have already been filed, and we're talking to longtime prosecutor, now retired, Dara Paley. She's not involved in this case, but as a longtime prosecutor has done cases similar to this and kind of walking us through the legal process and answering a lot of the questions that you may have been hailed, had. So Bill Heimer, the prosecutor who is involved in this case, said that the youth was being held at the Ocean County Jail on juvenile charges of knowingly leaving the scene of a motor vehicle crash resulting in death. But he could still face additional charges, correct?
Yes. Those are just the preliminary charges that the state filed against them. But as the investigation continues, they can add additional charges. They could potentially add a death by auto charge, manslaughter, aggravated manslaughter, depending upon what they find as they go on with their investigation.
And you had mentioned, you know, data in that car. Now, I don't know what year BMW it is, but it does appear to be a newer vehicle. There's technology in that car that could answer a lot of these questions. How does law enforcement or the prosecutor access that data, and what could they glean from it?
So there's two different things that they could look at in that motor vehicle. Both would have to be with some form of a warrant. The one thing that they could look at is what's called the EDR, event data recorder, what is more commonly referred to as the black box in a car. That's going to tell us, hey, how fast was he going at the time of the crash? When were his brakes applied? And all of those events that occurred in the car related to braking speed immediately before the crash. The other thing that they can get is information related to his infotainment system. So, you know how with the newer cars, it has the fancy computer screen? That computer screen interfaces with your phone when you plug it in. So the information that's on your phone winds up getting stored potentially in your car system as well. They can get a separate warrant to be able to get that information that might be able to tell us, was he on his cell phone at the time of the crash? Was he doing something else at the time of the crash? That is the other information that we can get.
If it's not stored on that system, is it possible for the prosecutor to get a warrant to access his actual cell phone device?
Yes, they can get a search warrant for his actual cell phone. They could also get cell phone records to determine whether or not he was on the phone at the time of the crash.
The question that a caller had just before we took the break was, what happens to the passenger? Because there was a passenger in this BMW. You see them in the video get out together, look at the damage to the vehicle, and then walk away. Is that passenger subject to any charges?
It's a great question. Possibly. To give you the lawyer type answer, possibly. So that passenger could possibly be charged with hindering or obstruction. One of those types of charges is a possibility.
Is that something that would be likely? Would there have to be a mitigating factor there? Would it have to be, you know, the passenger saying, hey, dude, we got to get out of here, and pulling him away from the scene? Or is just his presence enough to charge?
It's not going to be his presence enough to charge. It's going to have to be the, hey, let's get out of here, let's run away. And those are the factors that the prosecutor is going to have to look at to make those decisions on charging.
Now, this is a juvenile, and I know a lot of our listeners have been frustrated before in cases that have involved juveniles. Not only will we likely not hear from the prosecutor on any of the items that we just talked about, but he can't really reveal any of that stuff to the public, can he?
Correct. The laws related to juvenile cases, it's very strict. They can't release any information. But what could happen in this case, and I'm not sure what the prosecutor is going to wind up doing, is because of the juvenile's age, he could potentially be waived to adult court and tried as an adult.
We don't know the juvenile's exact age. We had information from callers that he is potentially 17 and possibly a junior. Again, that hasn't been confirmed. If he was 17 or is 17 and is weeks or months away from turning 18, does that steer a prosecutor's decision to try to waive to adult court?
Yes, it does. And also depending on the facts and circumstances of the accident. How fast was this juvenile going? Was he double the speed limit in a school zone during that crash?
Right.
Those are the factors that I would have looked at to say, hey, are we going to send this to adult court rather than prosecuting him in juvenile court?
Dara Paley, really want to appreciate your time and for helping us walk through this process. Dara Paley is a longtime prosecutor, now retired and in private practice. Thanks for being here on New Jersey 101.5. So there you have it. I mean, there's a lot of information that we talked about, but nothing confirmed. And we're not going to know unless it makes it to adult court. And that could take a long period of time. What do you think? What should happen to the driver of that BMW? And are you buying the initial story? 8:28 is the time on New Jersey 101.5. Jen has news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. And then more with you on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. 9 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott, in for Bill Spadia. Bill is off in London. He'll be back on Wednesday. 1-800-283-1015. My real thanks to former prosecutor Dara Paley, and helping clear up a lot of things that we've been talking about surrounding this terrible accident that killed a 15-year-old freshman riding his bike to school in Brick. Funeral services wake will be held today. The GoFundMe campaign for Jackson Muller is over $100,000 to help with the funeral expenses and other expenses surrounding the boy and the family. And, you know, as I said yesterday, keep in mind that there are two lives here that have been destroyed. One of these boys is unfortunately no longer with us. The other faces potentially a long time in jail for a bad decision that resulted in the death of another teenager. And this is a process that is going to take some time. It's frustrating because what do we always say? In the absence of fact, there is story. And there's not going to be a lot of facts that are presented in this case because it involves a juvenile. But as we heard from Prosecutor Paley, in this case, there's a lot of data that can be gleaned from the technology that is in your vehicle. And it's really something that I didn't consider before. I mean, we all plug our phones into our cars and we talk to our phones and we ask, Siri and Alexa while we're driving, and we do voice to text and we use our navigation systems and all of those things. All of that technology is recording information about you, about your vehicle, and what is going on with that vehicle. So it is very likely that the prosecutor will be able to access that data, the black box, if you will, in that BMW that can show a number of things. When the brakes were applied, how fast was the car going? Was there an attempt to swerve? If the phone was plugged into the car or connected wirelessly to the car, was the phone engaged? Was there a text message or an email being sent? Was video being taken? All of those things could potentially show what happened in the seconds prior to that accident. And then you have the video of the driver and a passenger looking at the damage and walking away. And as a caller asked right out of the 8 o'clock news this morning, could that passenger be charged? And Prosecutor Paley said it is possible, especially if he's the one who encouraged the driver to leave the scene. There could be a hindering charge involved there. But again, this is a juvenile case. Possible to get it will get waived up to an adult court, but as we learned from that tragic Clark accident, that is not a quick process. there is a long process for that to happen. There's a certain amount of time that you have to make the decision and inform the court. And then you have to present your evidence as to why to the judge. And then the defense has an opportunity to present why it shouldn't be. And then a judge has to make a decision. That doesn't happen overnight. Justice is often not a swift process. And when you're dealing with juveniles, you don't often get the answers that you're looking for. A couple of other questions, and I've gotten this one a lot, and Jimmy on the app chat asks, was it an electronic bike or an electric bike the kid was riding, or was it a manual pedal bike? I don't know the answer to that question. We have asked. We did not get an answer from the prosecutor. I have heard that it was a manual pedal bike, that it was not an e-bike. And because they continually refer to it as a bicycle in statements and press releases, that has led us in the newsroom to believe that it was a pedal bike, but that has not been specifically confirmed yet by the prosecutor. So you have two lives here that are irrevocably changed. Unfortunately, that 15-year-old lost his life, but the driver of that BMW, his life as he knows it, is also over. And if you have not seen the photo of the car yet, go to NJ1015.com and take a look at it. There was anecdotal evidence from some callers and other listeners that the driver of that BMW said, I thought I hit a pole. Again, not confirmed by the prosecutor. I'm only repeating what somebody else has said to us. But if you look at that car and you're the driver, my first thought, based on my experience as a former EMT and as a paramedic, is that that kid got thrown into the windshield. When that BMW hit him, he face-planted into the windshield. Or a shoulder went into the windshield. Either way, that hole in the windshield is right in front of the driver's position. There is no way you could not know that you hit a human being. Supposition on my part. 8:45 is the time on New Jersey 101.5. Any other thoughts on that? Because when we get into the 9 o'clock hour, you know, we're heading into the long holiday weekend. Man, I want to talk about food and drink. I've got some recipes for you. I want to hear what you're going to do on a rainy Saturday and a long holiday weekend. 1-800-283-101.5. Let's keep it light for the rest of the morning. Can you help me? 1-800-283-101.5. It's 8:45 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
New Jersey 101.5. Great New Jerseyans talking Jersey stuff. Jump in anytime. Call, app chat, be a part of it. New Jersey 101.5.
8:53 now on New Jersey 101.5. All right, coming up after the 9 o'clock news, what are your plans for the weekend? Did you have to cancel something? Were you heading down the shore? Were you having a backyard barbecue and you kind of scrubbed it? Or you're, what are you going to do, hang out in the garage now? What are you going to do? 1-800-283-1015. Drop me a comment on the app chat. You know, we haven't done this in a while. I'm looking at the app chat heat map, and we are lighting up around the globe now. Although I suspect, perhaps, maybe, the person listening in England might be Bill Spadia, who's in London. Although I doubt it. He doesn't listen when he's on vacation. Shannon in Chemung, you're on New Jersey 101.5. You had a question related to this tragedy in Brick, this kid who was killed on his bicycle?
Not really a question. I could relate to this story. I lost my husband due to a bicycle accident in Missouri as in July. We'll be coming on 10 years.
I'm so sorry.
What happened to the person driving? Basically, kind of the same thing. They did not leave the accident, but the driver was over 2.5 football fields away from where the accident happened, actually drug the bicycle underneath the truck, and the windows were shattered where Kent went almost through. And the only thing that happened to the man was he did not have car insurance. And so it was a $300 fine for not having car insurance.
Oh, Shannon. I'm so sorry that you and your family had to go through that. I'm so sorry for your loss. Look, I don't know the Missouri law. I don't know that that's necessarily have been the case here. I know the biggest mitigating factor in this particular case is the fact that the driver left the scene. That is going to be the biggest mitigating and aggravating factor in this case. And the video evidence of that is, frankly, shocking. Coming up, Jen has the story. A school security guard loses his gun, and guess who found it? That story coming up in 4 minutes, and then your holiday weekend plans on New Jersey 101.5.
From deep discussions to lighthearted conversations, you're listening to New Jersey 101.5.
Parks Casino, New Jersey Chime Time is 9:09 on a Friday. Oh, heading into a long holiday weekend. I'm okay that it's going to rain. I really am. Last Monday, when I was talking to Dan in the newsroom, and he was like, I'm not ready to say anything yet, but it looks like the upcoming holiday weekend is going to be lousy. I was disappointed. Now I'm like, all right, we're just going to roll with it. We're going to cook all day on Saturday. Tiki Bar probably will be open today and might have some folks over and have a couple of adult beverages or three. But we're not going anywhere. If we do decide to go anywhere, we'll probably head to Luca's for happy hour and maybe an earlier dinner. Since I'm going to be cooking all day, I may not want to cook tonight. But I'm just going to kind of roll with it. What about you? What are you doing this weekend? Did you have plans that you had to cancel? 1-800-283-101.5 is the telephone number. Hey, I did want to give you just a quick update. Look, if you missed the interview that we did at 8:20 with the former prosecutor, Dara Paley, on what charges could be brought in this terrible situation in Brick, where a 15-year-old freshman was killed riding his bicycle to school. You'll be able to get it on demand later today. Listen to it, because a lot of the questions that you are continuing to ask on the app chat, Paley answered. And, you know, a lot of the questions about the passenger in the car. And that was, there is the potential, possibility, that he could be charged with some type of hindering offense. But, you know, we won't know any of that because of the juvenile justice laws. And I also heard from State Senator John Bramnick, who was listening to that segment and to the interview that we did. And he revealed that the law should be changed. The juvenile justice laws should be changed. And he, in fact, will draft a bill to do that. And he will be on a Jersey Thing, my evening show that airs between 6 and 7, next week, probably on Thursday, to talk about the changes in legislation that he is going to propose. Because there isn't a lot of information that legally can be revealed by the prosecutor. A lot of times, prosecutors don't reveal information anyway. But you do, as a journalist, and even as a member of public, still have access to a lot of the court filings and court documents and charge documents in an adult case. You do not in a juvenile case. So oftentimes you can glean facts that were not initially available out of the charging documents that become public record and subject to OPR requests, Open Public Record Act requests. But that is not the case in juvenile court. And it takes a long time for the process to wave somebody up to adult court. So there'll be much more about this. But this is, in a very short period of time, this is the second very high-profile case involving a juvenile death and a juvenile suspect. And that's why you don't get the details. I was scrolling through my Facebook feed during Jen's news, and I keep seeing all of these new things that you can buy for your backyard that are supposed to kill mosquitoes and keep mosquitoes and other bugs away. And I was there's one that is like solar powered that comes on a couple of stakes, and it looks like an old bug zapper. You can put it in your backyard because it's. I kind of feel like getting rid of and killing mosquitoes has kind of become the same quest as can you build a better mousetrap? And the answer is usually no, that nothing works. Have you ever bought one of these devices? Do you have the things that you can hook up to a propane tank? What have you successfully been able to use to keep mosquitoes out of your yard and off of yourself and your guests? Because Sandra and I have been looking. The one thing that we did buy is we bought this little rechargeable thing that takes these little containers of liquid and it puts out like this little steam. They're great for around a table, but they don't keep them all out of your yard. And I don't want to spray a lot of stuff, A, because of the environment, and B, because I don't want the dogs to get into it. But already we've noticed that it is starting to get really, really bad. And I'm crazy about going through the property and making sure that there is no standing water. So I don't even know where the mosquitoes are coming from yet, but they were everywhere the other night, earlier than I had anticipated. And if you've got any suggestions or ideas of things that you've done or used that keep mosquitoes out of your yard, I'd love to hear from you, either on the app chat or even better, give me a call at 1-800-283-1015. It is 9:15 on New Jersey 101.5. We'll get an update of traffic and weather and your calls in 3 minutes. Good morning.
Start your day with Bill Spadia. Keep it going with Judy and EJ. Ride home with Dubinsky and more. We're New Jersey 101.5.
9:21 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back next week. Hold on there, Mr. Weatherman. We didn't ask you what your plans were for the weekend, especially since you knew in advance that the weather was likely to be crappy.
Yeah, well, we're going down the shore, of course. You know, perfect weekend for it.
Of course you are.
Yeah, we wouldn't miss it. It's tradition. My mother-in-law has a house, and my wife's family all gathers there for their yearly frivolity on Memorial Day weekend.
Do you need ideas for cocktails?
No, we usually do shots after the kids go to bed, actually.
That's the way to do it, man.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so you paint the picture, now there's going to be a total of 18 of us, I guess. There's 7 adults, 9 kids, and 2 dogs in the house.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Shots are necessary. Amy's family has a tradition for Memorial Day weekend that I personally do not partake in.
Oh.
For whatever reason, liverwurst sandwiches are on the menu for tomorrow. Yep.
I'll eat yours.
That's fine. You can have it. I think it looks exactly like the dog food that we feed Riley. It's uncanny. I might have to switch them out and see if they even notice.
Oh, if you do shoot video. I want to see that.
That would be really funny, actually.
That would be horrible. I love liverwurst.
I can't do it. It's deli meat, but then all of a sudden it's soft. How does that happen exactly?
Yeah. You think it will have the consistency of like a good bologna, but it doesn't.
And then it's not. Nope.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
You can spread it. I figured you would love this tradition and you would want some. Just knowing your strong German heritage, I figured that's where you would go with
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Liverwurst and onions with a horseradish mustard on a seeded rye. Oh, my goodness. And then if you want to put a couple of sardines on there.
Now you're going crazy.
That is good stuff. You know, the legendary former morning host, Jim Gerhardt, we used to do, because he also is very German. So we would sometimes do liverwurst and onions, but we would often do sardine and Limburger cheese sandwiches.
I could see him having an affinity for such delicacies.
Yes, absolutely.
He'd probably recite some ancient poem or something as he dined on this, too.
You'd have to hear the whole history. Well, the first time back in the 13th century.
It was named Limburger, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, the people that came in after the morning show when we did that were not happy with it. Yeah, stinky cheese, stinky fish.
Mm.
Exactly. Kind of like you with sushi.
Oh, God. Remember that morning?
Sushi Charlie was here.
Oh, that day almost killed me.
That's funny. All right. Well, enjoy your weekend, Dan.
Thank you.
And have a shot for me, would you please?
Without a doubt. Yes, sir.
It is 9:24 now on New Jersey 101.5. I round of roast beef. It is a very lean cut of meat. And a lot of people struggle to make it tender. But that was, at one point, the traditional Sunday roast beef dinner. And every once in a while, you can get a pretty good price on an I-round. And I did the other day. I've done I-rounds a bunch of different ways. I've done them low and slow, like you would a pot roast in a Dutch oven. The way that I'm going to do mine on Saturday is doing a reverse sear and then a low and slow. And it's really easy to make a tender, juicy eye round. There's not a lot of fat in it. There's not a lot of marbling in it. So you don't want to cook it beyond medium rare. Medium would be the high end, but I tend to cook it a little bit more on the rarer side. If you haven't mastered the technique of doing a reverse sear, it's really not hard. You just have to have some patience to it. So what I typically do with the eye round, and I think the one that I have in the fridge is about 3.5 pounds. I'll trim around the outside and get some more of that fat off. But I'll make a rub with garlic, olive oil, salt and pepper, either fresh thyme, which I do have coming out of my herb garden right now, but you could also use dried thyme as well. Mix that all together and then rub it on the roast. I get my oven up to about 500, maybe 550, and make sure that your oven's actually at the temperature, and then put that roast in a roasting pan, open roasting pan, for about 20 minutes at 500 or 550 degrees, and it's going to give you the most beautiful crust on the outside of that roast. And then I'll take the temperature down to 225 and roast it for about another 70 to 90 minutes until the internal temperature hits about 125. Then I'll take it out and I'll let it rest while I make the sauce out of the drippings. But that reverse sear for a very lean piece of meat, like an eye round, outstanding. And then you, with all the juices and everything that you've got, I'll put a little extra butter in the pan and a little bit of red wine and make a sauce. And that is the best way to do an eye round. And if you've struggled before, try that reverse sear. 20 minutes at 500 or 550, and then anywhere from an hour and 15 to an hour and a half at 225. Trust me, you'll have one of the best roast beefs you've ever had. 9:27 now on New Jersey 101.5. We're going to get an update on news, weather, and traffic with Jen. Oh, did you hear about Sebastian Maniscalco and his quick shopping trip in New Jersey? Jen's got the details in her newscast. And then more about your holiday weekend plans on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. It is 9:37 now on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back next Wednesday. Hey, I just want to remind you, if you have not yet checked out Jersey Thing, that's my new show from 6 to 7 p.m., although Dennis Malloy is filling in for me while I'm filling in for Bill. I'll be back on the air with that on Wednesday. It's much like what we're doing this morning. We talk about all kinds of different things, and we have some extended interviews, and we'll really get deeper into some policy issues and some fun stuff as well. But check it out, and you can actually get the video podcast on our YouTube channel. Just go to the New Jersey 101.5 YouTube channel or search for Jersey Thing with Eric Scott, and you'll get an idea of what it is that we do. One of the things we do is called Jersey Jury, and that is a panel of everyday folks just like you. And if you want to be a part of a Jersey Thing and you want to be a Jersey juror, just leave me your information on the app chat, and producer Thomas, who also produces that show for me, will get in contact with you. Just leave me your email address and your cell phone number. Thomas will get in touch with you. You can come on the show with me, and we seat and render verdicts on issues that are facing New Jersey. And it's everything from affordability to should you return your shopping cart and what happens if you don't. Would love to have you, if you're a listener of the Bill Spadia Show, have you chime in on a Jersey thing and help us continue to have this kind of dialogue. Gave you my recipe for the I round of roast beef. Again, that reverse sear. It's easier than you think. 520 minutes, 225, up to an hour and a half. You'll love it. You will. Tom in Bridgewater, you're on New Jersey 101.5. So, Tom, what is it that you're looking for?
Eric, hey, good morning. I think it was around last year sometime. You stumbled across a drink that you concocted. I don't know if it was tequila or rum. You talked about it one morning, how you didn't think this was going to work out, and it ended up being terrific. And I know I'm taxing your memory, but you have any...
I think you're talking about the Carrillo Rita. Are you talking about the Carrillo Rita to celebrate Joe Carrillo's Day? Because that's... And you got to turn your radio down, number one. But let me give you the Carrillo Rita... recipe. You can just mute him, Kathy. You can listen off the air, Tom. The Carrillo Rita is 2 ounces of Blanco or white tequila, and I did use an off-brand of tequila. I had whatever I had in the house, but it has to be the Blanco or the white tequila. 1.5 ounces of blue Curacao and 1 ounce of fresh squeezed lime juice. And then... you add a drop of olive brine to that. Now, why is this the Carrillo Rita? Well, if you've been following us for any time on the morning show, you know we used to celebrate Joe Carrillo's Day, but I think we're going to shelf that. Bill and I will talk about that when he gets back. But this is the Carrillo Rita. So, glass of ice, 2 ounces of white tequila, 1.5 ounces of blue Curacao, an ounce of fresh squeezed lime juice, and then a drop of olive brine. And you're right, Tom. I did not think that this was going to be good. It is delicious. So thanks for calling New Jersey 101.5. Wait a second. Bring in Lily here in Belleville. Lily, this is off topic, but this is important. There's a protest going on now, Lily?
Yeah, we're actually standing out here in front of Belleville High School. There's over 500 students out here, and we are protesting because the superintendent wants to take away our health and wellness center. It's a center. He wants to downsize our health and wellness center, and we're out here protesting because he wants to take out a lot of funds. I have my peer here, Tafiq, and he's going to give you more information about it.
This is the first that I'm hearing about this. All right, I'm sorry. Who is this now?
Hello. Good morning. This is Tafiq Abu Baker, Mr. Bevel. I'm 18 years old. I'm a junior in Bevel High School. We are out here we started off with more, but now I think we are down to 100 people out here to protest. The superintendent in our town created a budget that would cut some of our teachers and counselors. And unfortunately, he does not know. I don't think he understands the impact that it will have on the students in this district. Many of us, the people that he's cutting changed our lives. They support us in every way. They show us care, and they have no performance issues in terms of being late or being absent. They always are here for students. They make the students feel heard, seen, understood. A lot of us grew more as people. We matured more, and it's unfair that these teachers are being cut. We did not know of this until a month ago, and they told us that there's a possibility where they won't be cut. And unfortunately, last night, actually, or 2 nights ago, he presented a budget to the board members in order for these teachers to be cut, and they voted yes on it. They do not know how much impact the teachers have, and they don't know the outcome of how things will change around here for worse, actually. So that's why we're out here to protest, say it's not fair. We need these teachers in our school district, and we need them to continue to strive and excel in our academic studies and to grow out and become better people once we graduate high school.
Well, listen, I'm glad that you and Lily called, and I really appreciate you drawing attention to the student protest and community protest that's going on in Belleville right now. I just did. I hope they're listening in the newsroom about this. And good on young people who are getting involved in this process. So what I quick found here, the Belleville Board of Education gave a green light to the budget just last week with staff cuts and an average tax hike of almost 6% for property taxpayers. And I'm looking at this total of 29 layoffs, including support services and instructional staff, which I'm assuming is teachers. I don't know if this is a result of the broken school funding formula that is still embraced by Mikey Sherrill. I love the fact that there are students who are saying, hey, these are valuable teachers, but we certainly will have our newsroom take a closer look into that. And unfortunately, this is not an isolated thing. This has been going on in districts. There are almost 130 school districts that again lost money as a result of this failed and broken school funding formula. I don't know if Belleville's among them. I can look that up during this break here. But the fact that you now have students who are leading protests saying, hey, this is impacting our education in addition to raising our property taxes, I think is fantastic. So I applaud the kids for getting involved. I wish more adults would. It's 9:45 on New Jersey 101.5. We'll have traffic and weather in 3 minutes.
Big Joe Henry is bringing you Jersey's biggest hits and biggest laughs every Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 3. Plus traffic, weather, and all the fun only Big Joe can deliver. Big Joe Henry, weekends on New Jersey 101.5.
It is 9:52 on New Jersey 101.5 as we are wrapping up the morning show today and heading into the long holiday weekend. Man, a lot of you have very strong opinions about liverwurst, and a lot of you are in Dan Zero's corner that it is terrible. And you know what's funny about it is my oldest son, who now lives in Florida, loves it. Absolutely loves it. Does not like the onion or the mustard, but loves liverwurst either just as a slice or on a couple of pieces of white bread. My younger son will not eat it at all. And it's like Robin East Hanover is like, liverwurst smells so bad. I disagree. I love it. I mean, it's one of those things where you either grew up with it or you didn't. And I mean, I have not had it in a long time. I will tell you, it is not healthy for you, but it is delicious. And then Reg in Hamilton writes that you can get a liverwurst, Swiss, lettuce, tomato, raw onion, boiled egg, and spicy mustard on a good rye at Reggie's in Hamilton. I might have to take a trip there just for that. And you know what's funny is that a lot of times the conversations that we have on the air, they evolve into extended conversations that we have either in the bullpen or in the newsroom. And we were back talking about all the crazy ethnic foods that we had as kids because it's what our parents or grandparents ate. And, you know, it's nothing ever went to waste in our household. And that often meant that you were eating things that it's my brother and I were talking about this the other day. If something came to the table and you didn't necessarily know what that was, it was best for you to not ask questions. It was the best advice that we got around our dinner table, especially if it was getting towards the end of a very tight month, is shut up and eat it. Just shut up and eat it. Don't ask questions. Because whatever was in it, my mom would make it so that it was not even palatable, but delicious. And that's a gift. We've lost a little bit of that. Hopefully, you have good food, good friends, good cocktails, and remember what the Memorial Day holiday is for, and please be grateful. We'll see you next week. Have a wonderful week.